Hello, my Ventura family. My name is Alexander Patrick James. It's an honor to be here with you all, and not just that, and sharing my heart and some of my story, but to be able to kick off your new series, You Have a Seat at the Table. So let's get right into it. I'm going to open up with a brief word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for the honor to sit amongst your people, to be called your children. And God, we ask that your word will be spoken, God, that your children will be encouraged, challenged, and convicted where necessary, that you would transform our hearts more so into the likeness of your Son. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted us to open up our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're just going to read a couple verses, verses 2 through 5. As you go there, I also acknowledge that Thanksgiving just happened. I hope you had an amazing time. My first question is, how many days of leftovers do you have? Or what are some memories that were made? Was there a funny dance? Was there, you know, a crazy commercial? Like, what happened? What do you remember that you'll never let go? But my real question is, how did you get there? What happened in the first place that even got you the privilege of that opportunity? The title of my message this morning is that it all starts with an invitation. Now, I know it may seem subtle, but I really want you to spend some time considering the power of an invite, of being the person who gets to choose who comes and who doesn't, how far or how close, who's invited, who's excluded, who's accepted, and who's rejected an invitation. In Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 2, it says this, that with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the bond of the Spirit, putting forth every effort. He says, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, with one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one baptism. The definition of an invitation is the request of the presence or participation of an individual, but in an especially kind and thoughtful way. Generally, an invitation is an invitation for someone to attend a gathering, or most likely a dinner. Think about it. What are some of the invitations you've gotten through the years, whether it was inviting to a party or to go to the movies, maybe a dinner, the Thanksgiving you were just at, who invited you first? Were you married in? Or your family friend? And then one day they just asked you to stay around. And I want you to just consider the power of that invitation, of who would let you be with, of the relationships that it was able to spawn from it. I argue, church, that invitations are powerful, powerful things. I myself can think of invitations that I've received either to weddings or to the movies, my first date with my wife. I invited her, but you get what I'm saying. But also remember being invited to church. Also remember being invited to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And look at me now. Married, beautiful children, a pastor at a church, and it all started because of an invitation. I submit to you, church, that the King, Jesus, has invited everyone to his table. I know this because of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. My question for you this morning is, yes, you have a seat at the King's table, and the King desires everyone at his table. I want to ask you a hard question. Is everyone invited to your table? If everyone's invited to the king's table, is everyone also just as safe, just as welcomed at your table as well? I remember being a boy in recess, and I really loved playing basketball whenever they let me. I say that because I would often have to stand on the line and wait for the team to pick who was going to be on their team. The captains would choose. They were the older kids. They had more privilege, more influence, whatever the case. And I'd stand on the line, eager to be chosen. And often, I wasn't. I wasn't invited to play. I wasn't asked to be a part. It left me alone, often sad. I had to find another group to be with. I never stopped liking basketball, but I gravitated toward where I was invited. Those boys used the power, the influence, and the privilege that they had being older to choose who got the invitation and who didn't. I want to ask you, church, how are you using your power, your privilege, your influence, your space, your voice, to ensure that as many people as possible have a seat at the king's table? Yes, you have your seat, but isn't it our responsibility, as the scripture says, to make every effort to maintain this unity? I should be putting in the work, not only to be a Christian, but to be an invitation. I think one of the best examples we have for this would have to be Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says this. He says that we must go through Samaria. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees were upset because of the ministry that they were doing, so they had to leave town before it started causing some chaos. But in the midst of dealing with that pressure, in the midst of having to leave quickly, Jesus thought it be valuable. He said, we must go through Samaria. I think there's three quick things we can pull from this. One, that the presence of pressure didn't stop Jesus's responsibility to invite. And I can say 2020 has given us tons of pressure. Amen. But has that pressure also been an obstacle to who you should be inviting to the king's table? Let me also say this. Normally, the people would go around Samaria. You see, Samaria had Samaritans, and Samaritans and Jews didn't necessarily get along. There was a lot of racial tension there because of how the Samaritans got there and how they were born and the whole backstory. So Jews thought that they were better, smarter, more valuable than the Samaritans. But Jesus says, no, we must. And I think a second point I would have to pull out of that is that Jesus says, I have to go, watch this, where the racial tension is. I would have you consider that Jesus not only went there under pressure, but went there completely knowing the racial tension he was about to step into. And what happens? He meets a woman at a well, invites her to give him water. And a couple chapters later, this woman is one of the first evangelists in that town. Jesus found the person that society, that politics, that racial standards and traditions said that he should walk around, and he walked straight to her and invited her in. Church, let it not be our testimony that the world constantly sees us walk around obstacles, walk around issues, walk around divisions. Let me be more clear. Walk around race issues in America. Walk around political divisions. Walk around social justice issues of folks who are being hurt or are facing injustice. Let us not walk around them, but follow Jesus and say in our own hearts, I am not only a Christian, but that Christianity calls me to be an invitation to those who have not been reached yet. If you notice the ministry of Jesus, isn't it funny how he is obsessed with the marginalized, with the broken, with the poor? He literally goes from marginalized group to marginalized group, and we should follow him. Amen. See, I've noticed that the king's table demands diversity. You see, for he so loved the world, the church should actively, aggressively, using effort, build tables that invite everyone in. But the question is, why hasn't it done that yet? How did we get so many tables in the first place? And without going through too much church history, most of it can be boiled down in this way. There was a dominant group, which was most likely folks of European descent, Christian white people, who one day decided that they did not want people of color or black people attending their churches. I've often wondered, why does the black church even exist? One day I asked the pastor that raised me, and he said, well, the black church exists because the white church decided to be the white church. There is a part of just our honest church history where some folks just decided only certain people can sit at our table. Only certain people could be where we are. And because of that division, we have the state of the church now. But I believe that God is calling a generation of believers to come back together, to be back unified, to trust in the power of his spirit, to make us one body, one baptism, one spirit again. I think of some of the difficulties of being that invitation. Back in the scripture in Ephesians, the idea of bearing one another and the effort to be one. I'll say this, that we must be willing to bear the weight of each other's stories in order for them not only to receive the invitation, but feel wanted in the first place. Have you ever noticed that when you eat food with people who you really get along with, the food tastes better? I don't know, but it's true. Have you also noticed that when you eat food with folks who you don't necessarily get along with, it kind of affects the experience? Which means our responsibility is not just to verbally offer this invitation, but to do our best to make sure the person feels seen and loved and valued so they can not only be at the table, but enjoy the experience. Which means we have to bear how they feel, what they think, be with them in the weight of it as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to put forth the effort to reach them, which means they need to see us like Jesus, not walk around these political divides, these racial divides, these cultural divides. Not to go, well, do they put sugar on their grits or not? We have to say, you are my brother and sister in Christ. And God called us to oneness, not sameness. And you are invited to my table. I was asked by a pastor once, how do I get more diverse people in my church? How do I get my Sunday morning to be multicultural? And I answered him and said, the only way to have a diverse Sunday morning is if the people at your church have a diverse Monday through Saturday. You have to raise and encourage and equip people to invite people who aren't like them to the table to see the beauty of the Imago Dei in every living being, and trust that when it is difficult, that the same Holy Spirit that raised them from the dead will be the same Holy Spirit that will hold them together again. I want you to consider that the Holy Spirit has a plan for us. I want to end with this by simply saying that there is an invite that you received once. When someone told you that there was a God who died on a cross for you, and if you will believe in him and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you could be saved, and all I'm encouraging you to do is to not keep that invitation to yourself, but to go out of your way into the highways, into the byways, and to invite everyone that you can find back to the King's table. Yes, you have a seat at the table, but it is our responsibility that as many people, as many different people as possible, receive their invitation. There is an empty seat. There are too many empty seats at the King's table, and you are the invitation that he sent. I pray that you would hear this message, that you would value the effort, the work it takes to reach, to be that invite. And just like at Thanksgiving, after you finished your plate, you'd be able to say, I'm glad I accepted the invitation. And I pray that there are people in heaven who, when they think about when they got saved, they'll think of you. And they'll say, I'm glad I accepted the invitation. Father God, we thank you for just this time in your word, for your presence and power in our lives. God, thank you for calling us to be the invitation to the table. Help us to push past the fears or worries that would divide or be obstacles, and help us to press in to who you've called us to be. Amen. We're not going to have a moment of communion, so we'll pause for just a moment, and I'll give you some time to go and gather your elements. Corinthians chapter 11. I'll begin reading at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup, and after he supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice and resurrection on the cross. And we thank you for the effort, for what you had to bear to make us one. So God, let this communion, this unity moment, not just be an act of traditionalness externally, but begin to equip and challenge our hearts to fight for that same communion, that oneness, and use us as the invitations to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us eat. And let us drink together. Again, thank you so much, church. It's an honor to know you all and to continue to get to know you all. I'll see you all in the after service Zoom. God bless you. Hey, before I left you, I really wanted to leave you guys some really clear, achievable application for this message. So check out this last slide. Every invitation has these things: a time, a date, an address, and an occasion. One of the things my prayer is that you take from this message is that the Holy Spirit will begin to move on your heart, that you would think of someone that maybe you need to invite, build a relationship with, create a seat at the table for. And here's the application of that. Before the end of next week, make the time. Find some window in your schedule. We're still most likely in quarantine, so set up a Zoom call with who that person could be. The date stands for value the moment. What this means is make it a priority. Don't find 5-minute slivers in your week, but maybe find priority for this thing and maybe even move something else out of the way. This will highlight the value that you have in this new relationship and the potential that it has. The address is, of course, choosing a safe place, not only physically as far as social distancing, maybe over Zoom, but you also want to pick a location that doesn't put you in a position of influence and power. So you don't want to choose maybe your office, or sometimes to start, not even your home, a Starbucks or a restaurant where no one has ownership and both people are on equal grounds. It's some of the best ways to start this relationship. And then lastly, the occasion. When you reach out to this person to share this invite to build this relationship with you, be honest about why. Tell them that, hey, I'm trying to create more friends of a diverse nature, and I really just want to hear your story. I would like to sit and learn from you and also have the opportunity to let you hear my own story. Doing this will be clear and honest with the person you want to build with. And also, it'll make it so when the next time you guys are both at the table, you have one more friend there. And that's your application for the message. Time, date, address, and occasion. Be the invitation.